I'm Cameron Esposito, the host of Wham Bam Pow. This is a movie show, a podcast focused on action and sci-fi films. We are so glad to be with you today. A couple things right up top. I want to say that this past weekend, Rhea Butcher, who's also a panelist on the show, and myself were on BoatParty.biz, the Atlantic Ocean Comedy and Music Festival. It was sponsored by MaximumFun.org, which also puts out our show. And I met many listeners on that particular boat that was floating in the ocean. And I would like to say to all of you, thank you so much for coming up and giving me big ups and high fives. And I had all the pineapple I could eat on that cruise. So you guys are the best, and I really appreciate it. I appreciated it so much that you guys were around. It was just like I got a lot of smiles. We got recognized tons of times
while we
were wearing unattractive clothing. Didn't we, Rhea?
Yeah, right. Rumpled right off of the plane.
Yeah.
Sitting on a sidewalk in Miami, and we got recognized quite a bit.
Yeah. One time I was just wearing only my own vomit. That's not true. But I did get
not
recognized.
True at all. I was recognized by someone only by my like call nickname. I was sitting in the hallway on the boat, and somebody said, "You're the Lady James Dean." And I was like, "Yes, I am." And he was like, "Awesome. I love the show." And then just kept walking.
Well,
it was a great moment. And thank you to that guy, that gentleman.
It was so much fun to be with Max Funsters. And
what a sweetheart.
We really appreciate that you guys are listening. Another thing to say, I was on, hey, if you like any jokes that come out of my mouth, I was on Chelsea Lately last night for the first time. I guess we're taping this on Wednesday, so that'll be two nights ago when the show comes out. And I'll also be back on the panel on that show on October 2nd. Now, I understand what you're saying to me. You are a kind of sci-fi, action-y focused podcast audience. And that's sort of the People magazine of television shows. So maybe you're thinking to yourself, I won't watch that. To which I say, listen, guys, we all got to eat. And Chelsea Handler couldn't have been sweeter to me. She even kind of cracked a smile. And as you know, she's notoriously a cold-hearted bitch. I'm just kidding. She's not. She just keeps a real straight face.
Real dour.
So she was, I don't know, would we say dour? No, I just actually thought she's just, first of all.
Oh, I meant dowager. I'm sorry.
Right.
She was the dowager countess of entertainment television.
Yeah, she's at Downton Abbey, and that's where they filmed the show. You didn't know that because they kind of spruced up the studio. But she was actually very pleasant, and holy crap, it's really fun watching somebody do their job when they're really good at it. Like, she knows her stuff. Also, whoever is working out her buns looked amazing.
You are obsessed with her buns.
I can't stop talking about her buns. Oh, I'll just welcome you guys to this show.
Yeah, I mean, I've been
Rhea Butcher,
speaking,
the Lady James Dean.
Disembodied
I didn't
voice.
Mean to constantly talk about her buns, but they are rock hard. I could just tell. I didn't touch them. But they looked great. She looked awesome. Hello, the Afro spokesman, Ricky Carmona. We missed the shit out of you.
Yes, we did.
It's good to be here. I miss you two beautiful people. What it do, people?
Yeah. Oh, man. Have you ever... What do you
looked
think
at Chelsea Handler's buns? No, I have not yet. If you get a plus one on that October 2nd taping, talk to your boy.
I will.
Talk to your boy.
She was just wearing those like wet look leggings.
All right.
And they just looked wet, you know? That's a really weird thing to say.
Oh, that's great.
Super
also,
weird.
Going to be zooming around a little bit this coming weekend. So on the 20th, I will be in Cleveland with Rhea Butcher at the Accidental Comedy Festival. And then also on the 21st, I will be at Foxwoods Casino in Connecticut with Anthony Jeselnik. That could go any number of ways. So we'll see how that goes. And then I will also be at the Wilbur Theater in Boston on the 22nd. Kind of a special thing for me that I'm going to be at the Wilbur. The Wilbur is the first place I ever saw a live stand-up.
A coming home of sorts.
Boom.
Yeah, I went to see Margaret Cho there, and that was the first person I ever saw in the first place. Do you remember, Ricky, what was the first place you saw somebody do stand-up?
First place I saw somebody do stand-up live with my own eyes, it was very late in the game, like a professional comedian. I saw George Wilburn at The Tonight Show when Jay Leno took The Tonight Show on tour. And they stopped in Chicago, Rosemont.
Oh, wow. Was it at the Rosemont Arena or the Rosemont Theater?
It was at the Rosemont Theater. And he came out. I already knew who he was beforehand, but he came out. He was like, "It's good to be here. I love you, Chicago." And everybody went, "Yeah." And he's like, "That's the same thing I'm going to say when I'm in Cleveland tomorrow." I was like, "Yeah, that's how you do it."
That's great.
that's a pro joke right there.
Great.
Hell yeah.
I saw, what's his name at the Rosemont Theater? Barry Manilow. Kind of a similar experience, actually. You know, Barry Manilow does a Christmas tour every Christmas, which is amazing because he is Jewish. And that's like part of the whole thing. He's like, guys, I am a Jewish. That being said, I have a great voice. And then he like, it's amazing.
Does he say, I am a Jewish?
I think he says, I am a Jewish.
Yeah. I am a Jewish.
Well, I forgot to tell you he's really Italian.
He's super Italian.
You forgot to tell me
he was Roberto Benigni.
Yeah. Well, he climbs across all the seats. He receives an Oscar and then he sings a Christmas song.
All while doing Coca Cabana. It's the bomb.
And now for next week, I also want to say right up top that we are taking a little break from doing a recording because we are going to be out of town. Rhea and I are going to be out of town. So we're going to play our first episode that we ever recorded that has not gone out ever. It's about the movie The Warriors.
It's our pilot.
It's our pilot.
That's right.
And I'm really excited to listen back to it and hear how we recorded. I remember, Ricky, you were, I think, 3.5.
I was.
And Rhea and I were both 6 months old.
That's right.
We were so young, and we didn't have speech patterns yet.
We all had the same exact hair, though.
Yeah.
Which was beautiful. You had your wonderful side mullet going. 6 month old with a huge afro. It was beautiful.
We were so cute.
We were.
So we are also going to talk today on the show about the movie Haywire, and we will be back with that after this. And welcome back. So I found out during the break that I am a poo head. And I didn't even ask my panelists if they have anything coming up in terms of dates for them. Rhea, what do you have coming up?
Well, I have the Cleveland shows as well.
Yes.
Which is the 20th and the 21st.
That's right.
I'm going to be staying on in my native-ish town of Cleveland.
Yes, correct.
On Saturday. And then next week, on the 25th, if you're in LA, I'm going to be on Meltdown.
Meltdown being a huge show here in LA to get a spot.
The Meltdown, if you're...
Yeah, it's a huge show. Yeah. So congratulations.
Big old show. Thank you so much.
Are you feeling stoked?
Feeling stoked. Feeling like I'm not going to have my own Meltdown. I'm just going to melt the place down.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
That's good.
Feeling positive.
Well, I will be there giving you as many high fives. Like a little bit of, like, I almost maybe stage mommy about it. I'll just be like, honey, come, and then I'll wipe the corners of your mouth or whatever.
Yeah, reapply my chapstick.
Yeah, I'll reapply your chapstick.
Wheeler out in a huge carriage.
Ricky, what do you have coming up?
I have a show coming up this Friday, which I believe is the 20th, at the Hollywood Improv on Melrose. Show called Van Jam. It's a great show. Always, it's a monthly show that we do every Friday. Kyle Kinane is on the show, Nick Thune, Laura Keitlinger, Tony Sam, Tony Barker, sketch by the group Women, which is Jake Wiseman, Alan Strickland Williams, and Dave Ross, Friday night at 10 p.m. It's a great show. Come on to that. It's going to be the good times.
So all over the country you can find us, and that's where we'll be. And that's very exciting stuff. I also want to get to some movie news. Let's do some movie news now. Haywire, as I said, we'll be reviewing that today on the show. That is available right now on Netflix Watch Instant. So you could pause the show right now. You could go watch that movie, or you could just listen along, because while it might be slightly spoilery, I promise it will be hilarious. up top, though, some news. What's going on right now in action and sci-fi movies? Casting rumors. Casting rumors.
Who doesn't love a good casting?
Well, first of all, this rumors. This, I like that.
Yeah,
I like that.
That's a lesser-known version of Moon River. So we didn't even talk about this, but this is not a rumor. This is happening. Ben Batfleck is happening.
Mm-hmm. Nicely done.
Ben Batfleck.
Ben Batfleck.
That took
That's
me
good.
2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But I finally thought of it today. Mr. Jennifer Garner will be the Batman, and he's a Jewish, and he's also the Batman. No, he's not a Jewish, but he is the Batman. How do we feel about this?
I don't even seem to care very much. I mean,
you just yawned in the middle of your response.
That's how real feels.
That is, wow, I can't believe I even just said that. Anyway, I don't know. I mean, I'm more concerned about the movie itself. So Ben Affleck being Batman. I mean, honestly, who else could you pick?
Anyone.
For Batman. Really?
Anyone. Come on. Hate the guy.
He wow.
I just.
Good chin.
Now, let me just
say. He knows how to, like, walk around and look out of windows.
Ugh.
I mean, that's most of his movies are just like staring out of windows like so blankly with no.
You know, he can brood. He can brood.
But all right, here's
he
the
can
thing.
Brood.
Improperly brooding. He's really good at improper.
Christian
brooding.
Bale for me was my limit on smugness in Batman.
Huh.
Like I could not. I can't. I do not think I can possibly
See,
appreciate
very smug.
A smugger Bruce Wayne. You don't?
I mean, I think it's just a. No, I don't. I don't. I actually
like just
don't
as an
like
actor,
smug.
You don't think he's got a smug thing going on? American Psycho, sort of a smug, sort of a business card, sort of a
only
thing.
When he was Bruce Wayne, but that's Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, what I'm saying is that is as drippy.
Okay.
That is as like kind of saccharine as I can handle my Bruce Wayne. Because even like Michael Keaton's Bruce Wayne, yeah, he's like still kind of scuzzy in that way, but he's. I just liked him. Maybe I just like Michael Keaton better.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. I don't really. I mean, I don't know Ben Affleck at all as a person. I'm sure he is perfectly nice, but as an actor, I find him extremely smug and very oozy and drippy and saccharine. So I just feel like he's over that line for me. Ricky, what do you think?
I am. You guys know I loved Man of Steel. That was my movie of the summer. Did the job. So since I enjoyed that movie. I am trusting Zack Snyder that, okay, you know what you're going to do with this guy. And also, knowing what storyline that they're going with in this one, I don't know how much of a part it's going to play, but it's also going to be pretty cool to see Batman and Superman try and whoop each other's ass. So I'm excited about that.
If he plays it like his character from Mallrats... Shannon, I believe is his name.
He only plays two characters. One
I'm
is
all on board.
Obnoxious. One is obnoxious without realizing it. So we'll see what he comes out with. I don't know. I'm not very excited about it. I'll tell you who I think should play it, but not till next week. I'm going to think on it real
Ooh,
hard.
Marinate
real
on
long
it.
And hard.
Michael Pena.
Bring back Michael
what
Keaton.
What about Michael Fassbender? You know, just any well, other
whoa.
Michael. You know what I mean?
Whoa.
About Idris Elba. I really did think about that. An Idris Elba Batman.
Oh, that would be great.
That would be good.
Okay, well, we're on.
That guy broods. That man broods.
He's got some stuff going on. Also, Justin, this is so, I mean, this is not, I do not believe this is true at all, but just as a weird things that are making me laugh, Justin Bieber put out like an Instagram or a tweet or something that was a copy of the Batman and Superman script that just said like Bieber on it, like Bieber's copy with like a Bieber watermark. So as he was trying to create, and I think the hashtag was like, I'm probably going to be Robin or something. So he was trying to start his own I have been cast as Robin rumor. And the amazing thing about it that is like, first of all, please, dear God, say this is not true. Please, dear God, say this is not true. I do not believe that it is true. But also, I love that that little skinny little twerp thinks that he should be wearing, like, skin-tight clothes. He's, like, so tiny. He would be the very bendiest of all Robins. But this is good news. This is good news. Schwarzenegger, Avatar 2. They're talking about it.
I just heard about that. I'm on board with that.
I'm really on board with
that. Are you on board with it because it's Avatar 2, or are you on board with it because it's Schwarzenegger and Jim Cameron working together again? That's what I got excited about.
I don't
about.
Really care about Avatar, the property in general, especially also, Giovanni Ribisi in the first one. I was just like, his whole, I don't know what the, I feel like James Cameron unfortunately got hit with like an obvious stick right before he wrote that character because all of his lines are like, who cares about the planet?
That
and
whole
like,
movie.
Things and make bad stuff. Like, that's all his lines are. But now Arnold Schwarzenegger, now that's a dude that I like to watch work with James Cameron, so I'll see that.
Absolutely.
Jinx.
Speaking of older gents, Kelsey Grammer, not only in the next Transformers, one of the stars in the next Transformers, he has also been added to the Expendables 3 roster.
Oh my.
Kelsey Grammer.
That's amazing.
But you forget he was the Beast. You can't put your head down in shame.
No, it wasn't in shame. I cannot stop thinking about Kelsey Grammer like walking down Venice Beach with a puma on a chain, like hung over with no shoes on and like zoomies pants.
And this is what you have told me he does. This is not something that you invented.
Like no, I did not invent it. It's from like the oral history of Cheers that came out like a year ago.
Were they like, a book?
Just, no,
or just they, no, like, that's
Esquire
not an oral history.
Or somebody interviewed.
Stud Circle was like,
Stud Circle.
Tell me about them Cheers.
Anyway, I'm into Kelsey Grammer in any action movie. Love to see him chew that scenery.
Speaking of action stars, much like Kelsey Grammer, Dwayne The Rock Johnson is going to play Hercules in a new movie from Brett Ratner. Now, Brett Ratner, he's the guy that did like X-Men 3 mm-hmm. and 21. 21 is very bad.
What's 21? I don't know what 21
is. It's like that movie. It's a gambling movie. And what's his name? The English guy who is also in that Beatles singy movie, isn't it? Anyway, we can come back to it.
Beatles but singy movie?
It's a musical movie.
I know.
The Beatles.
I know what movie
sing
you're talking
all their
about.
Songs.
Backbeat?
No, it's about John
Lennon. It's called like Wonder Boy or something like that.
Like Over Lonely Boy? The no, it's like called a Beatles song name.
Hey Jude.
The strawberry on the front.
I think it's called Yoko Ono.
I don't know if it's called Yoko Ono. Yoko Ono's Yellow
Across
Submarine.
Across the universe. Across the universe.
That's what it's called. Yes, he's in that, and he's also in 21.
You're welcome, anyway. Everyone that's listening. That's screaming Across the Universe.
I think there's an equal number of people that are screaming. It is called Yoko Ono. Yeah.
Okay, Jim, so do you mean Jim? Anyway,
I just want to bring this up.
All right,
yes,
fine.
That's who I mean, Jim. Whatever Jim, his last name is.
According to Jim.
That's what I mean. No, that is his first name. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, he's playing Hercules. Here's why I'm so happy about this. We've been talking about this recently. He's half African-Canadian, half black, half... He's half Drake, half Samoan, and he's going to play Hercules. I, for one, am very happy about
this.
That's
awesome.
I'm really happy about having... I also really like Dwayne Johnson. I think he is so charismatic. I'm sure that if he at all is handled correctly, this could be a really great movie. Rhea and I saw Pain and Gain recently, and that is probably the worst movie I've ever seen. Ever of all time, ever. But even in that terrible, like, turd of a movie, there's a little glistening diamond, which is... that old Dwayne Johnson. So
yeah.
I can't wait to see the man play Hercules. He was obviously born for this role. He's giant.
Yeah.
I love him.
I'm on board. I like you say that Dwayne Johnson, it kind of irks me when people say this because it's so hacky, but it's true. He's like a throwback to like an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie star type guy. He's like, this guy is ripped. He looks like he can whoop ass, but he's just charismatic as hell.
But even more charismatic than
I mean, he's like a finely tuned machine, that guy, with how much he knows how to carry himself and knows how to hit a smile. You just enjoy watching that.
The
dude.
Smile thing is a huge part of it. And then also what's wild about that Pain and Gain movie, which again, I really could not recommend less, but he's playing opposite Mark Wahlberg, and watching those two dudes who are like, you know, they've really been known for their bodies and like they're, you know, being muscle heads, and it should seem like they maybe have similar acting abilities, but it turns out that much time as a pro wrestler, like Dwayne Johnson crushes Mark Wahlberg's acting abilities in that movie. I mean, he's awesome, so I can't wait to see that movie.
Can I recommend a movie to you?
Yeah.
Watch, and I think it's on Netflix, watch The Rundown.
Awesome.
Starring The Rock, directed by Peter Berg.
Is that the remake?
I don't think it's a remake.
Anyway.
But it's, that's when I was like, oh, Dwayne Johnson is the real deal.
The Rundown it is.
Is that with the 2x4? Anyway.
No.
Sorry.
Stop asking clarifying questions.
That's Walking Tall.
We have to end this segment.
Is it?
we're just talking movies. Just asking movies.
All right, we will be back after this with a Pitch It segment about adding more chicks to films.
Happy summer, everybody. Griffin McElroy here, the youngest of the McElroy brothers.
I'm Travis McElroy, the middlest brother.
And I'm beloved performer Jimmy Buffett.
He is not, but we do a podcast together called My Brother and My Brother and Me. It's a comedy advice show. You can find it at mbmbam.com, maximumfun.org, or just search for it on iTunes.
I love you, Sacramento!
You're not even on a stage.
Griffin, are you watching the shrimp? They're beginning to boil.
So join us this summer as we waste an hour of your life that you'll never get back ever again.
You know, I know something about wasting away again in Margaritaville. I'm beloved.
I know you are.
And we are back to talk about putting chicks in sci-fi and action movies. Now, here's the story. Every week on the show, or not every week in the show, but often we do a pitch it where our two panelists go head to head to describe a movie that should be made by me, studio executive,
executive
Cameron Esposito. And today, because we are doing Haywire, which stars, of course, Gina Carano, who's an amazing female action hero in this movie, and also building off of the last episode that I believe it was the last episode where we talked about rumors that Katie Sackhoff will be starring possibly as Captain Marvel, which is crossing sex lines there. What I asked for you guys to do today is to bring in an idea for a movie that already exists, recasting a male action or sci-fi lead as a female, giving me the actor, the movie, and I can't wait to hear what you guys brought in. So we will start with you, Ricky.
Awesome. What I have done is would like to pitch you, thank you for having me here.
You are so welcome. Do you need any water or coffee?
I'm okay right now. I would like to do a remake of the movie Predators. Predators, not the original Predator. Predators. And I would like it directed by Catherine Bigelow, who's a favorite of mine. She can write it as well if she would like to. And this movie will start. The star of Predators was Adrian Brody. Walton Goggins was in it. Danny Trejo. So what I would like to do is I would like to bring in the all-female strong cast. I am bringing in Michelle Rodriguez.
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
I didn't mean to get so excited.
No,
of course
please.
She should. Yeah, okay.
Hold
sorry.
That excitement because it's.
Sorry.
We're at level one right
okay,
now, girl.
All right,
I'm going to take you there.
All right.
I'm going to take you there. Michelle Rodriguez, Linda Hamilton, Angela Bassett, Sigourney
Ooh!
Weaver, Gina Carano, and a cameo by Bill Duke, star of the original Predator. They will be going up against, again, in keeping with all the females, they will be going up against the Predators, which will be played by the Kardashian women.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right. First of all, I love everything you're saying.
Boom. Soundtrack by the RZA.
Okay.
Check
it. I was gonna say,
I think what has really inspired me to respond so positively to what you're saying is Angela Bassett. Talk about an asset. She's a Bassett. She's a real Bassett asset.
Oh,
and I love her, and I love her in everything she's in, and we don't use her nearly enough in this old Hollywood. The woods that are Hollywood.
Yeah.
And
Angela, I love you, girl. I want to see you in everything.
May I make just an option just to see if you're into it? So, of course, in Alien Resurrection, we saw Sigourney Weaver as a half-alien hybrid. She looked awesome, crazy long nails. That's the only way you could tell she was an alien. Other than that, almost exactly the same as a regular Sigourney Weaver. So I guess what I'm wondering is, are you open to a Sigourney Predator hybrid? I think it would just be like Sigourney Weaver, but she's got dreads.
I would be open to that, honestly, if we got to the stage where the movie gets made. What the idea I was kind of thinking was maybe somehow there's a crossover and it's Ellen Ripley. She's playing the Ellen Ripley character because there already has been the Aliens versus Predator crossover. I thought maybe we could do that. I am not
Poor
against
Ellen Ripley at this
man,
point.
She
you know
has
what I mean?
Been through some
she
shit.
She is exhausted.
God damn. She just wanted to kick it with her cat. That's all she wanted to do.
Well, Ricky, thank you so much for bringing in that idea.
It's my pleasure.
Usually, I think you bring in marginal to fair ideas. I'd say that about both of you guys. You're really at the bottom of my barrel in terms of people I ask to bring in pitches. I mean, you know, but today you've really surprised me. And Rhea,
well,
this is your last day on the lot.
Yeah.
You know, you've already been pre-fired.
I'm losing my placard today.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you don't get a spot anymore, but if you want to come and walk onto the lot.
Wash all the golf carts
you
or something?
Can't.
If you can watch Ben Affleck's bat suit.
Yeah, you can, but only the crotch. So, Rhea, what is your pitch for today?
All right. My pitch it is of a super recent movie.
Ooh.
My pitch it is A New Elysium.
Ah.
Ooh. Now, this is a very simple pitch it. I am saying get rid of Matt Damon and move Jodie Foster into the lead role of Elysium.
She was meant to play that.
Did you guys see The Brave One? She's
yes.
pretty good in that. I'm not on the best terms with Jodie Foster in general in life, but hey.
You guys had a falling out.
We had a falling out over the Golden Globes. But you know what? I honestly think she should have been the like stone cold like savior in that movie. Now, I'm going to shift the storyline And the sort of allegory for this version, away from immigration and healthcare a little bit, because it is Jodie Foster, and it's going to be her blatantly living in the closet and refusing to be out and proud, and Elysium is a bunch of closeted celebrities living some perfect life away from everybody else.
Wait, so then the gays live on a bad earth?
Yeah.
Or on the greatest
I
earth.
I feel like that there's a problem. There's a slight... What if the out gays live in the cool
okay,
sky
yes, that's
planet?
What I meant.
The I feel like that's better.
The, yeah. Yeah, yeah, and then everybody has to get out
the closeted
closet.
Gays.
World. There you go.
Live in West Hollywood. Mm-hmm. The worst place in the world. No, it's not the worst place in the world.
But, I know this is but a then we pitch make it against each yeah. other, but maybe it's called a lesbianism?
Yeah. Thank you, Ricky.
Sorry. I didn't know if that's where we're going, but...
I have a bit of a rickety pitch it this time, so I appreciate your help, Ricky.
Well, all right.
I want to see this movie, too.
As much as I like what you're saying,
totally.
I think that you understand who has won.
Oh, I absolutely... Angela Bassett?
Angela Bassett
came into the picture.
So thank you so much for both of you bringing in your ideas. Today's pitch it goes to Ricky. Cannot wait to see Predators starring Angela Bassett. She's top billing for me, even though she's probably
I love it.
Not for some other
it
studios.
It could be Predators.
Okay.
I redeemed myself.
Saved
All right.
by
That's
the
what's up.
Fun.
I'm back.
All right, we'll be back with a
Here's
review
your placard.
Of Haywire after this. Now is the time in the show we give you a brief review of a dick flick. This week we chose Haywire, which is currently available on Netflix. Watch Instant. Spoilers do follow. Now, this movie, Haywire, is directed by Steven Soderbergh, who, let's give you a little background on him. He's the guy behind Traffic and Aaron Brockovich and all of those Ocean movies and Magic, like 11, 12, and 79. And then also he's the dude behind Magic Mike and also behind the Candelabra.
Behind the Candelabra?
Yeah, he's behind. He was the second guy behind. There was one guy behind and then he was behind that guy.
And then a Salt Shaker behind that.
And I think one of the more interesting things that I found out about him doing a little research was I actually didn't realize that he won the Palme d'Or at Cannes for Sex, Lies, and Videotape when he was 26.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Did you guys know he was 26 when he won that?
Yes.
Kind of, yeah.
That is a baby.
He was a big – he came out of the gates like a big deal.
Yeah. Deal.
It was a huge deal, and that movie is excellent. But I guess I – but 26? Anyway, that just – way to go, guy.
Yeah.
Magic Mike, I kind of could take or leave when I saw. I mean, it was good, but Behind the Candelabra, I thought was awesome. And it's also funny to imagine that in somebody's career, he's had a very diverse, like, who could possibly have predicted that the dude who would win the Cannes Prize for Sex, Lies, and Videotape would eventually make the Michael Douglas Liberace biopic.
Yeah.
Like,
I feel like we sleep on Steven Soderbergh.
Absolutely. People really, really do.
Yeah, like that guy is involved. Like, I looked at his IMDb credits today, and I was just like, oh, you do it all. You're in the thick of it, and it's all quality work. Even the stuff that's not good, it's still quality. It's just not that good.
What were you saying?
I was going to say he also is like a bit of, I don't want to say a stunt director, but like he has high concept movies that he just sets forth like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And then he does it. And then he also makes like Ocean's 11 and Magic Mike.
Yeah, I'm going to make like a really weird, but it's almost like he's ticking off his boxes on the different stuff. Almost like this is not a direct correlation, but almost like a Kubrick sort of a thing where it's like,
yes,
here's my movie about this time period, here's a space thing, here's whatever. Obviously, they're really different in terms of their like artistic maybe merits, all of them. Like, I don't know that everybody would necessarily put like Aaron Brockovich right next to The Shining, but I just mean in terms of the fact that he made Aaron Brockovich and Traffic and
the Ocean's movies.
Yeah, it's,
he made
it's
that movie
pretty
The
diverse.
Good German.
He also made
I think
the
he
movie...
gives himself like He gives himself challenges or like experiments.
Yes, that's what
I
want to like,
make a spy movie now.
Yep. Yeah.
I want to make a heist movie now.
He also made the movie Bubble. I am like 99% sure, which is just people that he found in the town that he filmed the movie and actually made like a good movie out of it. It's not like exploitive. Like, he is one person that has actually done that well.
Well, I haven't seen that, but that's... Yeah, anyway, here's the other thing I would say about him. So this movie, this cost $25 million to make. And I just bring that up because Iron Man 3, Man of Steel, those are $200 million movies. And now this movie is relying a lot more on practical effects than on special effects. And so there's probably a big... And the practical effects are all really small. They're interpersonal because it's an action movie about a spy-ish woman who is then running for her life because she's trying to figure out who she's being hunted by, basically. But it's a lot of hand-to-hand combat, so you can understand how that could keep a price tag low. But I also think that this movie looks really great. It's very fast-paced, and it is refreshing in today's like mega-budget movies to see that you can still make a great movie for a tenth of that price tag, like a movie that looks right and actually looks cool, because not everything is like a weird reflective robot. You can just tell that it's actual human beings.
Yeah,
it almost feels like First Blood or something like that kind of an action movie where it's just people fighting each other.
It has a real bluntness to it. That opening fight in the diner. So first of all, it's people fighting in a diner. The gunshots that happen in the movie, they're not like huge, like you don't hear like the boom. It's just a very much like a pop.
Right.
Like, oh, wow, yeah, that's probably what a gunshot sounds like.
Well, another thing I wanted to bring up is that, so Gina Carano obviously is one of the reasons that he could make this movie. She is the third best women's MMA fighter in the world, currently ranked, although I don't, there probably she won't fight again. And she also was an American Gladiator for a while when they recruited that. But so he specifically sought her out and wanted to make a movie with her, which I think is kind of similar to like Quentin Tarantino using Zoe Bell in Death Proof, because she rides on the hood of a car. She's a stunt woman that he used in Kill Bill to stand in for Uma Thurman. He just eventually decided to make a movie where that stunt woman could be the star, so that when she does the stunt, you can film her face. So this feels like that kind of a movie to me. It's like he picked somebody who he knew could do these moves.
Mm-hmm.
And then he also, I was watching an interview with Gina Carano today, who was saying that Steven Soderbergh told her that he also tried to fill the rest of the cast with like really committed actors, because he thought that those people would be willing to go with her on the physical stuff. So like, they were great actors. She has zero acting experience, which you can tell, but she has a lot of body experience, and he picked people to play against her that he knew would throw themselves around so that she wouldn't have to worry about hurting them. And so that's why, like, Michael Fassbender's in this movie.
Yeah.
He's great in it.
Yeah.
Channing Tatum is in this movie. He's great in it. And both of those dudes are people that know how to use their bodies as well, but, like, that they also have some acting chops and they were willing to commit really hard to it. And Michael Douglas, Antonio Banderas, also in this movie.
This cast is sick.
It's very sick. It's pretty broad.
The guy from
who they're bringing in.
Amelie.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. That is, yeah. Matthew Kosiewicz.
Great pull.
This is the final thing I'm going to say is this was a bit of a controversial element to the movie when it first came out, is that they digitally lowered her voice. Did you guys know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when in the whole movie, so it's not dubbed, it's her, but it's digitally lowered.
She sounds like Tyson. Is that what her real voice?
Yeah. She just sounds like a woman. But this is the reason that Steven Soderbergh said for doing it was that he wanted to make sure that the character was really as far away from Gina Carano the person as he could get, while still using her special skills. And that's what both Gina Carano and Steven Soderbergh said in interviews at the time when this came out. Because people asked her, like, hey, your voice sounds kind of funny. And she was like, yeah, with my permission, Steven lowered it. And, you know, I feel like it was fine. And that, to me, sounds like the biggest load of hooey.
Yeah, that
I've ever
seem...
heard. Because they don't do that for nobody hires The Rock.
Yeah.
And says, we want to change your...
That's crazy.
That's weird.
Yeah, the only other time I've heard of something like that was when Old Girl was in that Tarzan movie from way back in the day, Greystoke. Andy McDowell, that is not her voice in the movie.
Oh, really?
That's Glenn Close's voice.
What?
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And Superman, the young Superman, that's not his voice. That's Christopher Reeve's voice.
And Audrey Hepburn can't sing. So we got
What?
We got all this covered. Yeah, she ain't hitting none of those notes.
What?
Not nothing.
Also, who
but
is Audrey Hepburn?
That is Marty McFly singing in Back to the Future.
Well, good job.
I'll let you guys know.
Anyway, I just feel like that's a very weird aspect to this film. I don't know why he did it. I feel like I kind of wish he hadn't done it. But
that's weird.
There you go.
I wish I hadn't heard that reasoning for it, because the second time around watching it, I actually liked it.
Mm, you liked the change
choice.
Voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway. All right. So let's hear what you thought about the movie. I'm going to start with the worst part. Let's start with you, Rhea. What is the worst part of this movie?
My worst part is that there's not enough Michael Fassbender in this movie, which is like, I mean, that's not a horrible worst part. I love that guy. And I mean, the cast is great in this movie. But I would have loved to have seen just a little bit more of him. But
he
it's
is
also
so great with his bod.
Yeah, he's
just
really
across
good
the
with
board.
His body.
And did you read in the like, I don't know, extras for this that
about
there's
the vase?
A yeah the vase. Yeah. They're like in a fight scene, and Gina Carano smashes a vase on his head, and she wasn't supposed to do that. She just like got stoked on the
oh,
moment,
wow.
And then has all these skills. And so she just has this vase, and instead she's supposed to just like kind of punch him and then move on.
Yeah.
No, she's like, smash! And that's, and then abusing it. I think that's hilarious.
She hulked a little
bit. Hey, you can't talk a girl out of her Hulk. You know, you can't tell her.
How about her as a She Hulk? Would you be into that?
Oh my God. She's the perfect She Hulk.
I would be into that.
Her and Mark Ruffalo as Hulks together.
Oh, ooh, they would be great Hulks. They even look kind of alike.
Hulking together.
That'd be solid.
All right. I love that.
So that's my worst part. I just would have loved to have seen a little bit more of him. That's all.
Yeah. I also like the size differential between them.
Yeah.
It's fun to see like a bigger, a physically larger woman
with
a skinnier guy
fighting.
That's very unusual.
I think that was my favorite fight in the movie.
Oh, it's
Fassbender
so
and her getting just whooping each other's ass.
So, Ricky, what's the worst part for you?
Scott. The actor who plays Scott.
Yeah.
For the level of her of Gina Carano's acting, I didn't feel what you were saying about how Soderbergh felt these actors would go there with her. I didn't feel like they were meeting at the same place.
And Scott in the movie.
Scott in the movie is the guy who she is driving with, helps her when they leave the diner. And they're pretty much, he's exposition.
Right.
Here is what's happening.
There's an initial fight scene where she is in a diner, and then Channing Tatum comes in and like basically beats the shit out of her. She gets away, and she just gets like a random stranger in the diner to then drive her. And she's also saying to him like, "Hello, Scott. Great job. Keep going, Scott."
Yeah.
Like, she's like, talking him through the whole thing. And then also like telling him way too much about what's going on with her, which is very funny as well.
He is like a child actor, yes? He's from something like...
I don't know who that dude is.
I've seen him.
He's not in Small Soldiers, but something like that.
I've seen him in other stuff.
Which also took me out of the movie as well, because I was just thinking, like, what is this guy from?
Well, you know what I would say about this is, I would say, it kind of goes to your point, Ricky, it's, this movie doesn't make a ton of cohesive sense. Like, they're trying to connect things together, and it is just a little bit of a stretch. Like, I don't know if you guys saw Salt, but...
No.
But that was the last movie that I saw where, like, there were a bunch of different twists and turns that we found out as the movie was going along. There wasn't like a ton of exposition. It was like it started fast and then it just kept going. But at the end, it really had like a nice wrap up. Like it finished itself and it made a ton of sense. You know, if he finished himself.
I wasn't going to say anything, but Rhea giggled.
I giggled.
But I just felt like this movie was like, I don't know. So it's a mite complicated.
It's like the ride. Yeah. I don't know.
It pulls the Shutter Island ending at the end.
Yeah,
here's what
really
you've
does.
Really just seen. Here's a
and
board.
It's so much more about like a tone for me. So like if that was my other worst part is that the plot is just there's too much. I don't care.
Yeah,
I
it could be
just
simpler.
Want to enjoy the feelings that are happening for these people, the fear and the anxiety and all that stuff, which actually I was watching The Limey in preparation for this, and it's a very similar movie. He almost, like, remade the movie. Anyway,
I wish
it was simpler.
I think that one thing that could have happened is, like, it just could have been a job gone wrong, because the whole thing is, like, she's this, like, spy-type person that does, you know, like, saving people are fixing situations. And I feel like just take that character, put them in a situation, have it go badly, fix it. Like, we don't need, to me anyway, I think that we don't necessarily always need this crazy umbrella over the top of it where it's like, and then everybody's corrupt, and then that guy, he's corrupt too. And it's all related to this.
Like, it's like too many names.
Yeah, it can, you know, just too many people. It can just fix itself. So there you go. On to the best parts. Rhea, best part for you.
All of the action scenes are, like, beautifully shot. I love how simple they're shot. Even just, like, when she's running away, I forget what, where she even is, but she has that cute little hat on, and then she's, like, running across the roof, and it's just, like, the way you want that scene to be shot. Like, watching it, it's not crazy, but it's, you know, just, like, the camera's tilting around, and then sometimes it's under and through a window, but, like, just enough so that you can see what's going on, not too artsy. And then even in, like, that, when she's running away, then she's, like, perfectly gliding across these roofs and stuff, and then she just falls and, like, knocks the wind out of herself because she's actually a person. You know, like, she's still this crazy special ops, but she falls on the ground and then has to, like, limp around and finish running away on just the ground in, like, a green hoodie. I don't know. Just little touches like that really make it, I don't know, just an awesome action movie.
Ricky, what about you? What's the best part of this movie?
Oh, guys, I don't know what happened, but I loved this movie.
Yeah!
I loved it. I watched it 2 times within 24 hours. I loved it so much.
Yeah!
That's awesome.
I was just blown away by it. I had seen it before. It's been about a year since I've seen it.
Did you see it in the theater, Ricky?
No, I saw it at home.
Cool.
And I watched it. Gina, and everything that I liked the first time, it just went even higher. Gina Carano, at first I was like, our performance is not too crazy about it. But then I was like, maybe that's part of her character. Because whenever she's fighting with somebody, she's at her most natural because she's an ass-whooping spy. And whenever she's not, she's kind of stiff and just kind of like robotic. And I was like, maybe that's her character and not necessarily her acting skills. Soderbergh, great. I know we have to wrap it up. I'm sorry.
No, I like what you're saying there because I actually think that's kind of what I mean about if it had been less complex, I think it could have been more about just her character being kind of a weirdo. Yeah. You know, like, I think there would have been more room for that. But as it was like so complicated. Everybody had to get everything out. And anyway, I just think it could have been shaved down a little bit to even enhance what you're speaking about.
I liked the complexity of it because I was like, this is... Do we have our, like, American spy? We have James Bond. But now we have, you know, we have the Mission Impossible movies. We have True Lies.
Bourne.
We have Jason. Yeah. We have the Bourne movies. Yeah. Why can't this be another? I would watch her in another mission doing something. Steven Soderbergh, the way it was directed, loved it. He uses colors amazing. It reminded me of Out of Sight. I watched Out of Sight again after I finished watching this.
Have you seen The Limey? You should watch
The
Limey.
Oh yeah. I love The Limey. Well, tell him I'm coming.
I just want to add my best part at the end, which is, God, I love when somebody actually gets to use their real skills in a movie, especially an action movie. You know, it's one thing to watch Tom Cruise, like, learn how to rappel off of a building and then do that stunt, because he does so many of his own stunts. He looks good when he does them. He knows how to do them. But there's, like, Gina Carano is, like, running up walls and flipping over. And I kind of feel like it's, like, okay, have we talked about this on the show? There's this episode of The Golden Girls. I bring this up all the time. There's this episode of The Golden Girls where, for some reason, Blanche and Rose have to tap dance together. And I love thinking about the writer's room because those are, like, actors who, you know, they've been working forever. They probably were, like, around at the time where just, like, all actors had to tap dance. You know, like, when they were 20, they just had that skill. And then they're, you know, 60 in that show or 70 or however old they are, 50, I don't know. They're some age. And
800 years
old. I just imagine, like, a writer's room of people like, so is there anything else these gals can do? Because we, like, are out of episodes. And somebody's like, well, you forget they can tap dance. So the whole show is just to get to this part where they tap dance together. And it's so excellent. So my point is, like, I kind of love that. I love when people come in with a skill. You actually get to see them do it. That's really fun to me. To me, I love that all the time. Always write tap dancing and wall running into your movies. I love it. So to conclude the review, in brief, Rhea, on a scale of 1 to 5 running up walls, how many walls are you running up for this movie?
Look, she got cornrows. She has Bill Paxton as a dad saying, she texted me. She pulls somebody off of a wall climbing away from her, which is one of my favorite things in a fight scene. So, you know what? I'm going to give it all five.
Wow, great.
Boom.
Great.
All those things that I just said warm my heart, and I love that about
awesome.
This movie.
Ricky, on a scale of 1 to 5 Michael Smashbenders. How many Smashbenders do you give this movie?
I will give it 4 Smashbenders because of Scott and because it drives me crazy that the movie does not end with an image of her and that it ends with Antonio Banderas.
Mm. Awesome. Great reasoning all around. I am giving Haywire, I think I'm going to give it 4.5, popping your hoodie up as a way of escaping. I always love movies, action movies where they're being chased and then they're just wearing the exact same outfit, but they put their hoodie up and then people are like, where are they? They were just here, but that person's wearing a hoodie. Same body type, but a hoodie, so it can't be them. They were not wearing a hood before.
Yeah,
they don't have any hair. They just have a cotton head.
Put your hoodie on. Can we tell if you're here? Can we tell if you're here?
I have my hoodie on right now.
I was here.
So, and to conclude the show today, what are you thinking about this week, Rhea? What are you thinking about this week?
I am thinking about 2 things very quickly. I'm still thinking about the boat. Holy crap,
boats.
What a great time that was. And hello to everyone that I met there. It was a great time. I hope that everybody else had a fantastic time. I got to watch 42 again when I was a little bit sick on the Bahamas day. But hey, you know what? Go Jackie, go.
You watched the movie 42.
I watched the movie
about
42.
Jackie Robinson.
Again, yes. But I had a great time with everybody. I hope everybody had a great time with me. And I just want to say a congratulations to Robert and Jess, who got married over the weekend. And I know they're
those
big
are your buddies.
They're big. They're my buddies, my personal buddies. They're also Big Max Fun fans and friends. So congrats to them.
Congrats, guys.
Congratulations.
Yeah, from all of us to all 2 of you. So, Ricky, what are you thinking about this week?
All right, I'll save the other one for next time. Another album that has popped up into my life that is banging, Janelle Monáe.
New stuff.
Oh, the electric lady. Watch her performance on Dave Letterman last week and see what the past, the future, and the present just all gets melded into one and explodes. It is amazing what she does on that show. And the album is great. Listen to the song Queen with her and Erykah Badu.
Oh,
you know,
God.
The booty don't lie. The booty don't lie, girl.
I would love to see a tour of her and, Solange. The 2 of them?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
There's a great song with them on the album.
You're kidding me.
I am
Sorry.
Not kidding you.
I'm massively flagging you guys in.
Sorry.
Smashbendering. No, you guys are great. We're just loquacious tonight.
We are.
Well, we're on a boat.
Yeah. Well, yes. We've been cooped. All right. Well, you know what? I was going to talk about something different. I was going to talk about Bill Nye the Science Guy doing the cha-cha-cha on Dancing with the Stars.
Because he
did it to Weird Science.
What?
This happened like a couple weeks or less. I don't know when it happened. If you can find it on YouTube, he looks amazing. I was thinking about Bill Nye the Science Guy and how awesome he is. And then he's wearing like the exact outfit you'd expect. And he's moving his little bod around and like trying to dance really great. And Weird Science is playing. And they have test tubes set up all over the stage. It's amazing. Great job, guys. Terrific television. Final thing just that you were making me think of, Rhea, that I saw that movie 42. I only saw 8 seconds of it because I fell asleep during the entire movie. But the last 8 seconds is them saying that that's the only number that's retired in all of baseball and that once a year all baseball players wear 42. And first of all, I don't give a shit about baseball, so I had no idea that was true. And the moment I saw that on the screen, I immediately started sobbing. I was so happy for Jackie.
Yeah.
And equality. So, shout out to you, Jackie.
Go, Jackie.
I guess it was a well-made movie. Cried after 8 seconds. I was running around going, I had no idea. So anyway, next week, we will be chatting about The Warriors. That is not available anymore on Netflix at Watch Instant. If you have a chance to check it out ahead of time, awesome. Otherwise, we're going to just talk about us starting the show and how we did it. And we miss you. We will be on the road. So until next week or 2 weeks from now, I'm Cameron Esposito.
I'm Rhea Butcher.
I'm Ricky Carmona.
And you've been listening to Wham Bam Pow. Wham Bam Pow is recorded at Maximum Fun headquarters by Lindsay Pavlis. Thank you, Lindsay, and Maximum Fun, and thank you for listening.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.